Welcome back to the podcast, you beautiful souls. I've got an epic guest joining me today, Lachlan Stewart, founder of The Man That Can Project, a dedicated men's lifestyle speaker and podcaster, lifestyle coach, I should say. With a mission to empower men to maximize their life, Lachlan provides tools and support for personal growth, mental resilience, and emotional well-being. Drawing from his own transformational experience, he creates a safe space for men to share their struggles and triumphs, fostering a community of understanding and positive change. He's passionate about breaking the stigma around men's mental health. Lachlan is committed to helping people maximize their lives. There's so much alignment. We've been chatting for a couple minutes before we click record, and this is going to be an epic podcast for men, for women, for growth. Lachie, thanks for joining me, my man.
Lewis, thanks for having me on, mate. As I was saying to you, I've watched your content for years, and just the way you dissect important topics within relationships and within our own minds has been something that I've learned a lot from. So I appreciate the work that you're doing, and it's even better that we're going to get to, I guess, dive deep on some stuff here.
Yeah, mate. It's we're just like I said, just speaking before we click record, and there's just a lot of alignment with what you do. I've had people ask me a fair few times, like, am I a relationship coach? And I don't say yes to that answer. I just say I'm a mindset coach, but the work shows up so much in relationships, especially, I'm not going to say especially for men, because obviously women have their stuff as well, but men, because we have, quote, the more power, muscularly speaking. Like, that's like, it's kind of like that analogy. It's like, a dog's not dangerous, but the bigger the dog, the more dangerous the dog could be, right? So I look forward to hearing your thoughts, mate, because this is obviously your world and your expertise. So before we sort of just start chewing off the juicy stuff, mate, what's your story in a nutshell? Because I don't know your story too much. So what's your story in a nutshell?
Yeah, very quick overview. Essentially, I have always wanted to be successful. And the idea of success that I had from a young age was to excel in sport. You know, I had three choices, or I was presented three choices. It's either be an athlete, be a celebrity, which definitely wasn't going to happen to me, or be a doctor. And once again, that was definitely not in my area of interest or an area that I excelled. So when I recognized that sport was where I was, you know, having shown the most potential, I leant into that, and was very fortunate that my parents supported me. They gave me the opportunity to get great coaches. And I started succeeding at a very young age, won my first state title in athletics when I was 11, which sort of started to solidify that belief. I was getting results from the work that I was putting in. And from that, you know, I guess that first win, I just became hungry to prove to other people and to prove to myself that I had what it took to create that life. I knew why I was doing it, and the how was athletics at the time. And along the way, I managed to get a scholarship to a predominant rugby school, Toowoomba Grammar School up in Toowoomba. And very early on, I recognized that athletics wasn't cool. Rugby was cool, and I got picked on. So I created an identity to become someone that fit in, you know, in the environment that I was in. So while I enjoyed skateboarding and I loved athletics and I was extremely successful there, you know, national titles and all of that, I became the rugby guy. You know, I would practice footy after school. I would do whatever I needed to do to try and make the A team. And I was in 13Bs, 14Bs, and I was getting frustrated. I was like, what do I need to do this? So I started sacrificing more of who I was and more of my running and my skateboarding to really achieve this goal. And by year 10, so the 15s, I was in the A team. Year 11, I was in the first 15. And, you know, after that, I was like, maybe I can actually be a professional rugby player. Maybe athletics isn't the path. And I still had that idea of success. I believe that when I achieve being a professional athlete, whether it was rugby or whether it was athletics, my life would be sorted. I'd have all the women throwing themselves at me. I would have all the money, and I just wouldn't have any issues. And what I found out really quickly after leaving school, I was trying out for NRL teams and all of that sort of stuff. And I had a lot of injuries. Sorry. And within that period of time, I was still having the women throw themselves at me, but I was also in a relationship. But because I had needs that weren't being met, and that was because I didn't understand what I actually wanted from a relationship standpoint, I was getting myself into a bit of mischief on the relationship side, which ruined relationships, which then I guess I was projecting that onto other people. Very jealous, So I thought after my last relationship breakdown, I've got one last crack here. Let's go play rugby overseas. And when I headed overseas, I was like, all right, this is it. I'm living abroad, got a contract, life's going to be awesome. All that stuff from the past is done. And what do you think happens 3 months into my time there? I find the same people who led me astray in Australia to lead me astray in France, and I was doing the same dumb shit. And what I found myself doing was every day between training sessions, I was sitting at home, I was watching YouTube or redbull.com or any of that sort of stuff. And I was like, and I'm still very jealous and insecure. I don't know what I want. I don't feel valuable. And this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought the success would change everything. And fast forward a little bit longer, I ended up back in Australia, blown that opportunity. And there was this, I guess, identity crisis. I didn't know what I was going to do. I still wanted to be successful. I still had that feeling in my stomach that I was meant for something bigger. But the one, I guess, lifeline that I thought I had to create that sport was not going to happen. And rather than sitting down and asking myself some questions or getting help to figure out what was next, I numbed that uncomfortable feeling with drugs, with alcohol, with sex, with porn. And I found myself at a rock bottom point where I got arrested one night. We had a pub fight. And I remember sitting at the bottom of the stairs when this was happening and looking around. And I was like, I'm not supposed to be in this situation. I went to a great private school. I've had plenty of opportunity, and I truly believe I'm actually a good person. So why am I in this position? And from that moment, I was like, okay, I'm not drinking anymore. Like, alcohol is not serving me at this point, and definitely recreational drugs are not serving me either. So literally in the space of what felt like 2 months, I'd met my now wife, and I'd committed to being better. And a guy that I played rugby with back in Toowoomba, he presented me with an opportunity, which was network marketing at the time. Awesome. And the thing about network marketing, I never knew what it was. I was very naive to it. But what he sold me was this lifestyle where I could, you know, be, do, and earn what I wanted just from my laptop. And I was like, hell yeah, I've got nothing else going on. So this is perfect. And it was who I became on the journey to creating a business there that has put me to where I am now. Fast forward to 2017, I had plenty of people asking me how I was doing, what I was doing. And, you know, I documented my own journey of going from this piece of shit, as I'll label myself back then, to now someone who was presenting events and could talk about how I'd created wealth, how I was having an incredible relationship. You know, there was this time in Thailand, Lewis, you'll find this funny because I know you talk a lot about relationship stuff as well, but it's a mindset. I was in a taxi in Thailand with my wife and her family, and we'd been together for 7 months maybe. And doing what I do best when I'm drinking a lot of alcohol, I get aggressive and say a lot of dumb stuff. And I ended up getting kicked out of the taxi in front of her family. And when I remember walking back to the hotel, and I was like, oh, fuck, I've got no money to be able to fly back home because this is going to be really uncomfortable when I get back to the apartments. But fortunately, I woke up the next morning and she gave me a good talking to, but it was also that affirming moment that I shouldn't be drinking because I haven't learned to, I guess, emotionally regulate myself or be a good person while drinking. It's either, you know, no beers or 1,000, whereas now I can have one and enjoy it. And yeah, that whole process has led me to where I am today, just by documenting my own journey and really trying to understand why I feel certain ways, why I have got results in certain areas and why I haven't, and who I want to be and what I want to stand for. That was a little bit longer than I wanted to, sorry, but
that's good, mate. Now, I've had one guest who went for 45 minutes on their story. So, mate, that's beautiful. And just something I really admire about that is just your level of self-awareness and your ability to like admit to yourself and say, look, I'm jealous, I'm insecure, I want to do something about it. And I want to get my life together. I want to make those changes. Like, if you were to go back then, what was like the inner dialogue for you to actually not only become aware of it, to actually say, you know what, I'm going to do something about it? Because I can just picture, and I obviously know so many people. I actually, funny little story, literally this morning, one of my brother's mates, and back in school, when I started doing, I did Herbalife, so I did network marketing as well. I started doing, setting goals and doing things. And his mate, I won't use his name, but he would come over to our house to hang out with my brother. And he's like, "Oh, how's your goals going, mate?" And like, and I missed the motivation and all this stuff. And literally this morning, my brother called me and said, "Hey, this person, he's struggling. And he wants to come to your event that you're running." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool. Like, it's actually starting to sort of come full circle." But it's the self-awareness to actually admit, hey, look, like where he's at, he's probably had X amount of pain, he's had X amount of challenges, he's probably 28, 29 now. And it's like, and he said he's broke, got no money, life's shit. And it's like, that was kind of the catalyst to wake him up. What was your catalyst? What woke you up to not only be aware of it, but make the decision that I'm going to actually get my shit together, for a better term, and actually turn this around?
My wife. So at the time, it was a completely different environment. And I recognized pretty quickly that how I spoke, what I did in my spare time would not fly around her, but there was something in her that I really enjoyed. Like, she gave me the ability to, I guess, express who I was in a way that where I didn't feel judged. And I think previous environment stopped me doing that in the past. So to be able to have essentially a fresh slate, a fresh start, where I could just go, this is who I am, this is what I want to do. Because as I mentioned earlier, Lewis, I built an identity to fit into the rugby crowd. That was very different to who I was prior.
Yeah.
So to be able to then have that, I guess, that pain of fucking things up and my life going nowhere, I was like, I'm prepared to, you know, be myself and really live a life that I'm proud of. And whoever wants to come along for the ride will be there.
Love it, man. Love it. I'd like to go into your work. So what do you do? Like, if you were to give me a bit of an elevator pitch, what do you do for men? So what is the work that you do? What are the problems that you solve? Like, how do you answer that question?
We help men thrive in the 21st century. There's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of things that are out of our control that we get told we need to work on. And probably similar to you, Lewis, I believe we need to focus on what's in our control. Who are we as men? What do we define as success? Who do we need to become and who are we now? And then just having that roadmap and doing things that challenge us, because I believe life is full of challenges. It's only going to get more challenging as we have more responsibilities. But balancing that with living in the present, because so frequently we're told we need to have these big, hairy, audacious goals, which I believe we do, that we miss out on what's right in front of us. Because we're chasing them, our relationships fall apart. We let our health go. And I just honestly believe, and I think I'm living proof, that you can have career success with incredible relationships while still, you know, being in shape and feeling good about yourself.
Love it. How do you define the healthy expression of the masculine?
Great question. I think for me, it's to be strong on the things that you believe in. I believe you need to leave and stand up for what you believe, but do it in a way where you can allow people the space to feel valued and heard on their opinion and accept that you're not always going to agree. I think in the beginning of this conversation, you asked me about stoicism, and I believe there's definitely a lot of people on the internet who are like really aggressive in their approach and telling people how to do things in life. And once again, that works for some people. Some people love to be talked to that way. I just know for myself, I love strong leadership. I respect people who stand up for what they believe in. Even if I disagree, I can sit back and go, okay, I understand where they're coming from. And I do truly appreciate that they're not going to fold on that. Whereas there's a lot of people in the world who fold as soon as there's a bit of resistance coming their way, that one day they're, you know, believing in this. And once again, I understand beliefs do change, but they never really stand for anything. And for me, I'm like, well, I wouldn't follow that person. That's not a leader in my eyes. And I guess from that masculine essence, people that I want to follow and men that I want to help get to where they want to go to, I believe they need to stand for something. They need to have that conviction.
How do you balance this? This is it's going to be a long framed question. I'm currently working with a Reiki healer, and phenomenal experience, and it's really opened my eyes a lot. And she's brought to the service something that I had suppressed, to be honest. And it was around my ability to access what you might call the dark masculine, like the warrior. Like, we were talking about the book King Warrior, Magician Lover. And that that ability to be angry but controlled aggression. It's like I'd suppressed it because I had seen like the tyrannical leaders, which I think you're referring to, the controlling dictators, and that's, and I had labeled that as bad, and I had judgment, I'd suppressed that, but it then I was not allowing myself to accept that part of myself, and it became like a kind of like a double-edged sword. It's like I was never angry, but it's like that level of like divine dark masculine where the warrior is strong when he needs to be. Like if the village is on fire and they're killing your people, the warrior needs to be able to be strong and take action and do what he needs to do, right? So long-winded question, how do you, in your opinion or your viewpoints, how do you balance the tyrannical leader versus being too weak and submissive? Where's the sweet spot? How do you integrate the warrior where it's like you are willing to take actions, make decisions, set structure, get shit done, but you also can embody that sort of magician, that poetry, the loving and more feminine aspect, let's put it that way. Because I find there's kind of the two fucking ends and people think you're kind of one or the other. You're kind of like your Andrew Tate, like, and I'm obviously just picking someone now, but where he can be sort of seen as that real, like, this is the way, fuck, like, and is very sort of tyrannical in some ways. And then you've got your kind of your, what people might call beta males, where they're playing video games all day. They're not doing anything with their life. Their health is fucked. And it's like, they're kind of like, it's not just one or the other. I believe it's integrating like all parts of who we are as men. So long question, how do you teach it, or what would you suggest for men to be able to actually allow them to be strong, stand for their beliefs, but not be too tyrannical where it's like, it's fucking my way or the highway, fuck you if you don't believe in me type of thing, versus being that sort of like weak, passive man that like women, from what I've heard, aren't like, and they want men with passions, with structure, who can take lead, who can take charge, but can also surrender. And I find for me, that's been a fucking challenging journey for me. I didn't have the healthiest masculine role model in my dad growing up. So this is the journey that set me on this. So yeah, how do you integrate that? Because that's something that I'm still on the journey to discover.
It's an awesome question, a really, really cool question. And when people look at, for example, Andrew Tate, and then you've got the polar opposite, the unfortunate thing we don't see enough of in society is we aren't around enough men who are successful in certain areas. So the reason why I started the Man the Cam Project, when I got a message one day, I recognized pretty quickly that I didn't have healthy role models in so many areas. I was competitive as all buggery, but everything else in my life sucked. My communication, my ability to treat people well, my self-talk. So I remember one day going, man, if I could restart this whole thing or build a life, I just want access to men from all walks of life who are successful in business, who are successful in their relationships, who are successful in their bodies, who live amazing lifestyles. I don't just want to know what it took to be successful. I want to understand the sacrifices, the shit that went on in their head in order to get there. Because people don't talk about this enough. So you've got, for example, on social media, especially because we have to be polarizing. Unfortunately, that's what grabs attention. So I understand that not enough people maybe do. So the people who have the biggest audiences are generally polarizing to some degree. But when you meet them, they may be very different, right? So when I look at going, okay, if I want to be hugely successful and I need to build an audience, I need to be like Andrew Tate. No, you don't. Why do you think that? Because I know for myself as a man, I, once again, can appreciate how the conviction that he speaks with, I admire that. There's things that he says that I disagree with, but I don't allow them to upset me. Because once again, I believe I understand why he's doing something. And even if he does, right, it's out of my control. I then look at the people who are on the polar opposite, who are sitting at home playing video games, who may be low in self-esteem and lacking confidence. And I go, if I was in that position, because I have been in that position when I wanted to kill myself, what did I need? What kind of leader did I need to help pull me out of that hole? Because Andrew, the tyrannical leader, is like pushing people, like, just, you've got to be better, you've got to do more, it's not enough. And then there's people who just need to be pulled out of the pit. So I understand that I'm still driven, and shit that I'm working on is like, I'm so driven to prove myself to my dad, to other people, that I can do something great. And when I will feel good about that, I don't know. You know, the goalposts always change. The life that I have now is what I once wanted, but it's now not enough. And I do believe that that's because I love what I do. I'm an ambitious individual, and what, you know, growth just doesn't stop. I'm addicted to seeing what my potential is. So to go back to your question around how do we bridge that gap, I think it is having conversations like what you and I are having and giving people a platform to really understand, okay, well, Andrew Tate, why do you believe this? And if you were in his position, would you be doing the same based off the goals that he has, the people that he's surrounded by, the hatred that he's getting? Because you'd have to put up a wall. And same with the people who are in the video games. It's like, I'm sure they cop shit all the time. It's like, oh, I'll just stay where I'm safe, where I feel connected. Their mates are online, you know, playing Fortnite or whatever. And that's completely fine because that's where they feel safe. People want to feel connected and safe. And I believe you can flow through all of those. There's times when I want a specific outcome or an individual that I'm talking to may need the blunt Lockie, like let's fucking pull your head in. If I believe that's what's going to get the result for them, perfect. If I believe that's what's going to get the result for me, perfect. There's also times where I personally just need to sit down and be a lazy bastard and play video games because I'm burnt out and I'm stressed out and I just need to disconnect and feel, you know, something completely different. And going back to this self-awareness piece, when you understand what you want, you understand that in order to have great relationships, in order to have a successful business and good health, you need both. You need to be vulnerable. You need to be able to let your guard down. You need to be able to be soft. But there's times where you need to also hustle and put shit together.
How do you do that part? I literally just wrote down the word safety, but also resilience, because it's like, you know, it's kind of the polarity, right? It's the, we're talking about pretty much similar style of question to the next question, but the previous question was, it's like that ability to be safe, put the walls down, but also be rigid and strong. So I'll love your thoughts on this. From my view of working with men, it's generally that there's more of the people who live in the strong rigid, and they're not okay putting the walls down because it's weak. It's don't cry, be fucking tough, don't show emotions type of thing. There's obviously some who don't know how to be strong as well. But how do you allow someone in the work that you do, how do you help a man either put the walls down and open up, or maybe build the walls up and be strong? How would you help a man or suggest a man to work on that?
Yeah, so we'll start with, I guess, becoming more resilient or building mental fortitude, and then we'll go to the second part. So for me, it's about doing something challenging. And what I perceive to be challenging is different to you. So we could pick any area. If you're uncomfortable with physical stuff, let's do some physical stuff. If you're uncomfortable with allowing yourself to be seen, we might do some Facebook Lives and get you, you know, I had a guy once who struggled to articulate how he felt or what he thought. So I made him do a Facebook Live to his page to talk on a topic that he, you know, was interested in. And literally he comes back in the room 2 minutes later, because this was at a workshop. Fuck you, Lockie. Am I allowed to swear? Yeah. He's like, you embarrassed me in front of all of my friends. I was like, how? He's like, because I stumbled and stuttered on this Facebook Live. I was like, mate, it's amazing, because now you've got a tool. You can go back and watch, and you can think about how you would say things differently if you had another opportunity. That's hard to do because none of us are perfect. And I'm going to listen back to this podcast, Lewis, and I'll go, man, I rambled there, or I should have been more clear here. And I always do that. And that's how I build better frameworks for myself and how I start to understand myself. It's hard to do, but when you flip the script and go, I suck at this at the moment, let's do something hard that's in a controlled environment. Because think about this, that guy who did the Facebook Live, he was in complete control of that, right? There was no life or death situation. It was just him talking about something. But imagine if he was to meet his future wife, or he was in a long-term relationship and there was a serious conversation happening and he stuttered and stumbled and couldn't articulate how he felt, and it led to a divorce or it led to a big argument. That's a bigger issue. Same with individuals who, you know, we can have controlled adversity. Like for me, at the moment in the States, it's like it was -1 today. I jumped in the ice bath. It was freezing. That's controlled adversity, because if I want to, I just get out. But by sitting in there, I go through the same processes. Oh, shit, this is scary. Or what if I die? Or what if I freeze? You know, all of this stuff goes through your head. And what if something like that happens in my life? For example, if I'm about to go bankrupt, it's like, I've been through these thought processes before. I know how to respond. I know how to remain calm to deliver that outcome. So that's why even for me, it's like one of the fifth framework that we look at is doing something hard, because in a controlled environment, it prepares you for when things get hard. And once again, the perfect example for me is a lot in my relationship in my earlier years, I would just snap. Like I would just scream and yell because I didn't know how to deal with pressure or with being questioned about things. So that's the resilient piece. With getting people to be softer and learning to be more vulnerable, for me, it's a lot about talking, but also having relatable experiences. When I share things that have gone on in my life, or, you know, once again, that taxi story in Thailand, a lot of dudes reach out to me because they go, oh man, I've got a problem with alcohol. And then we can start diving into that. It's just asking questions, allowing them to feel valued and heard, allows them to speak more and more. And it's not about criticizing or chastising people. It's like, and I can relate to that, or tell me more about how that felt, or why do you feel you did that? Because a lot of people, once again, Lewis, and I'm sure you get this a lot as well, they go, I don't know. It's like, I don't know is you just trying to avoid an answer. You do fucking know. So if you were to know, what would it be? And then here they go, because now they're talking about something and they're like, oh, I'm not going to accept it just yet, but we can talk about it. And it becomes this snowball effect. And I believe I'm extremely gifted with that, because we, you know, I can meet people even over here, and after about 8 minutes, they're telling me their whole life story. I'm like, cool. I get to learn, and it helps me be more open to them as well, because we've now just created this, like, there's no limit to what we can possibly talk about.
Beautiful, man. Did you answer the second part? How does the
softer part?
Yeah, the softer part. So do harder things. Was that the answer to that one?
No, sorry. The first part I was talking about was do harder things to build that mental strength and I guess become stronger. And then for me, it was the second part was how to become
more vulnerable,
softer and more vulnerable. Yeah. Sorry, I should.
No, I was lost in the story. You're a good storyteller. So I was like, maybe I got lost in trance just then. So
sorry.
No, mate. No, that was beautiful. The question that I had, I wrote down as you were talking, was you just spoke about vulnerability and being able to, I guess, access more parts of who you are, and then like to like whatever degree of the access you go to, you can access more parts of you as well. Like for me, I was suppressing the anger, but then it actually didn't allow me to express the full spectrum of who I am as an individual, as a spiritual being. What are you currently working through? What are you currently healing through, working through, a challenge that you're experiencing with your relationship or you as a man personally, or might be business? Yeah, what's something that you're currently working through?
I still don't believe I'm good enough. Like I still don't feel worthy. I work with this with my psych a lot, and I've got a coach as well. And it's like the thing that never disappears. I can look at a lot of things that I've achieved, and I definitely know that's like, wow, you've done well. But for whatever reason, I can't allow myself to feel worthy of just settling. And I feel every day I'm religious in getting up at a certain time so I can get my routines done, so that I can prove to myself that I'm still on the eight ball. I can achieve greatness, and I'm working to good things, but there's so many moments in my life where I just want to just be able to stop and really just go, Lockie, you're doing well, man. Just take the day off. And I struggle with that every day, Lewis. And once again, it comes up. I see a psychologist every month and we talk about it every month. I feel there's part of me that doesn't want to, like, accept that I'm worthy, because I feel a lot of my drive comes from a place of fear.
Yeah.
The fear of not being good enough. And I kind of weirdly like that. So it's like this weird dance I'm doing.
Mate, if you want to chat after off air, I love that conversation, because that's pretty much the conversation I have a lot with my clients. It's like the wound gives you the drive, but it's, if you don't ever actually heal the wound, it's still coming. You're acting out of a wound. So it's acting out of desperation, not inspiration. And if you heal the wound, it will go away. I've never yet to experience that. It's like, once you've healed it, are you just going to go sit on the couch? It's like, probably not, right? You're going to keep doing what you're passionate about. But for anyone listening or for anyone that can relate to what you've just shared, Lockie, like what I would be doing is finding when was the first moment you experienced not being enough? And it's, you just mentioned dad. I'll be finding the moment where that decision was made, where you played a game, you got an F on your test, he didn't make you feel seen. You're like, dad, I just did this. Sorry, son, I'm busy. I'm on the phone. Like literally something like that could make the decision, I'm not enough. And then you're spending whatever X amount of years now trying to compensate for that, but you're trying to fill a void that's unfillable. And it's like, it gives you the drive, but it gives you, it's like, it's very exhausting. So, but for anyone who's listening, is I would recommend find where's that actually stem from? Where was that seed planted? Go and dissolve it or heal it or integrate it or whatever technique you want to use. And I've got plenty of those techniques. And then the actions might not change. It's the energy behind it, right? It's like, fuck, I feel like I have to do it. It's like, have to, ought to, got to, should. You're projecting someone else's viewpoints or modalities or values on who you are versus I'm fucking enough. I'm loved. I'm abundant. I'm infinite. And this is what I would love to do, which will probably be the same thing. You probably just keep doing what you're doing, but there's less friction and less exhaustion with it. But yeah, we can probably chat off air if you want to go into that, man. But yes, thank you for being vulnerable, bro. Let's go relationships. How does this work for you and the work that you do with men? How does this show up in a relationship from the aspect of how does a man hold himself in a healthy way in a relationship? The biggest one that sort of comes up with what I've seen and some of the videos I talk about is the ability to create a safe space for your partner, but also balance the structure and the direction for the relationship as well. Like I've done a course, it's a sexual mastery course for men. And it's like, your woman is always challenging you and testing you. How strong are you? Like a great mountain can handle any storm. And that's what the test is with your relationship. But it's like, it can be fucking challenging, right? It can be triggering and they push your buttons and you project onto each other. So in whatever, whether it's in that angle I just said or another angle, how does a man hold space, structure, be the best version of them within a relationship in a healthy way?
Once again, another great question. For me, initially, it always stems back to what I want as an individual, because so many of us become dependent on the relationship that we let go of any standard we once had. So when I recognize why previous relationships had failed, and I started doing the work on myself, I needed to get to a point where I would be comfortable if our relationship broke down, because I understand that I'm capable of still creating a life that I want to live. But projecting all the energy and resources that I can to make the relationship work, because it's what I value. The way I look at it is, what do I want and need and desire? And now, what does my wife or partner want, need, and desire? Are we on the same page with all of that? I'm sure you've probably read Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And for the first couple of years within my relationship, Amy would always give me gifts. And I doesn't float my boat at all, but I'm just always getting gifts. I'm like, what is going on? I appreciate it. Thank you. But why? And then I read that book. And I never gave Amy gifts. Like I maybe gave her flowers in the beginning, but then I read that and I was like, hers is, you know, gifts. Whereas for me, it was quality time. And so when I thought I was doing a great thing as a partner by just always giving her my time and being like a little Labrador all over her, she didn't like that as much. Like she obviously does appreciate the time. So when we got clear on how to express our love to each other, to give and receive and sort of meet in the middle, that then became important to a degree. The third thing we look at, once again, I'm just speaking from my relationship, is having individual goals. I feel so many people build a life together. Once again, we're building a life together. We've got goals together, but we're also very independent in what we're creating. And I find nothing more attractive. Sorry. It's the most attractive thing when I see my wife going after creating what she wants and I can also support her. So when we look at like our roles, for example, even like we do whatever we need to do to help the other one win. So some nights that means I'm cooking and cleaning. Other nights it might mean she's cooking or cleaning. Sometimes if I notice she's slacking off from her goals, I'll give her a bit of a pat on the bum to be like, wait, this is what we said we're going to do, because I know that if she's not progressing, it's going to bring her mood down, which will bring our mood down. And she does the exact same thing for me. She just did it literally 2 days ago. So that's how we're then redefining, or I guess getting clear on how I want to show up in the relationship. Then ultimately it's the how I join the relationship is not going to be, the man I was when I joined the relationship is not where I'm going to be, and I shouldn't expect the same of her, which means we need to keep dating. We went through a period maybe 4 or 5 years ago now where it got really flat and we were just housemates essentially. And we'd stopped dating. And once again, the way to make anything successful is the fundamentals of what made it great in the beginning. And if you think about dating, it's like you're changing I know you just did your NLP refresher again last week. So it's like the second time you've done that, or I don't know how many times you've done it, but you would have learned a bucket load more. But it shifted some more beliefs. So I imagine even for your partner, needing to go on a date night with you to work out who the hell you are now is an important thing, rather than just going, Lewis is still the same bloke he was last Saturday. So all these experiences that we're having, like my wife's going to a massive industry event tonight. I need to learn about that because I don't know who she met or what's happened or what's coming of that. But if I just assumed she was the same person, once again, I'd just sit on the couch. She'd roll in home and I go, awesome, well done, have a good night. So I believe ultimately we need to take responsibility for who we are, our drive and ambition. We need to be on the same page in supporting and understanding what your partner or significant other's drives, ambitions, and desires are. You need to communicate effectively about those things, whether they are or aren't being met, and then just still have fun with it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah, it's just giving... I'm taking in your beliefs around relationships and just made how I'm sure you're answering it through the lens of yourself. It's like, how do you help others? But essentially I'm sure you'd be answering it. How do you hold space in the lessons you've learned around it? So keep on the dating, care about each other. I love the individual goals aspect. Something that my version of that is making sure that you are your own. There's yourself, there's your partner, and then there's the relationship, and they're separate entities. Like you look after you, she looks after her, and then you guys work together on the relationship. You're not dependent on each other, yourself, your whole without each other, and you come together to be greater together. So that was that's what kind of resonated with me then, man. So I've got a couple more questions before we wrap this up. What do you think about a lot but you don't talk about a lot? You can take your time with that question because that normally gets people.
I think about a lot.
Or you don't talk about as often as you would like to talk about.
To be honest, business. I have positioned myself as a men's health coach and I love business and I enjoy the elements of that, and I don't feel in a position to talk about it as much. Maybe that stems back to this whole worthiness thing, but I really enjoy talking about that. Another thing, I guess, if we wanted to go more into mindset kind of stuff, it would be, why are so many people not maximizing the potential that they have in front of themselves, especially in a time like now where we have access to more information, more community, if we want to look at online, and also the people that we surround ourselves with. And there's more people than ever from all ethnicities, genders, all that sort of stuff, doing crazy stuff that we didn't think was possible. So why are more people not getting after it?
What's your answer to that question?
Fear.
How do we work through that?
I believe environment, it's the people that you're around. When you're around people who are doing those things, as a byproduct, eventually you will start doing the same thing. It's probably no different to, if you want to be healthy, hang around healthy people. If you want to be wealthy, hang around wealthy people. If you want to have a great relationship, find someone who has your version of a great relationship and see what they do. and you'll eventually get pulled with them, I feel.
I like Tony says, like, get yourself in the right room and something will hit you. You're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So how's business? And like, oh, I'm doing $1 million a month. You're like, fuck, I'm doing 10 grand.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Wow.
Wow. Really cool, man. Really cool. Are you going to write a book firstly before I ask this question?
I will. It's one thing I'm fearful of, definitely, because I've thought about it for maybe 4 or 5 years, but I'm like, what do I really have to put into a book? And I have days where I'm like, of course I got stuff. But I think, yeah, there's definitely limiting beliefs happening there.
Beautiful. Awesome, man. Say you write a book and you can only leave 3 lessons and it's the only piece of work people will ever hear from you. What are your top 3 lessons going into that book?
The first one is seek to understand before being understood. I read that from Stephen Covey and loved that. That helped me stop trying to project all of my beliefs and opinions on people and really try to understand where others are coming from. The second would be just start. It's very cliche, but I feel that movement builds motivation. When you start doing something, you start getting more inspired to do it and you feel like you're on a roll. The third lesson I want to leave behind is nothing really matters that much. I think Bronnie Ware's book, 5 Truths of the Dying. Have you read that book?
I haven't heard that book, no. I haven't heard of it.
It's a phenomenal book, but she was a palliative. I'll just give you a 30-second summary of why it's important. She was a palliative care nurse, so spending time with people at the end of their life. And she got 5 truths out of them, or 5 regrets around what they wish they had done differently at the end of their life.
I think I've heard someone reference this book, but
yeah,
this is cool. Keep going.
Yeah. So, and it's not what you would expect. Yeah. So I read that book and obviously much like you, I interview a lot of people and it always puts into perspective around what's really important. What we're building and what we think means everything at the end of the day on our deathbed, are we really going to care? So do what you want to do in the moment, because even if you make a mistake, people forget about it within a day.
Yeah. That Alex Mosey, I'm sure you're familiar with him. He put up a post about the queen that passed away. I think last year before. It's like, it was like 6 months after. It says, like the queen who was in charge for longer than anyone else, had more wealth than 99.99% of the world, blah, 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 blah. She passed away 6 months ago and you probably haven't thought of her until this post. So it's like nothing matters. So do what the fuck you want. Who cares about people's opinions? If she's achieved what 99.99% of people won't ever achieve and you've forgotten about her within 6 months, it's like, it doesn't matter, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I just want to even say, man, like even just speaking with you now, the best thing about for me, because I normally don't jump on the other end of podcasts, but when I do, it shows me how far I've got to go. Like I get genuinely inspired. I watch how you host. And then I think about, okay, well, I could improve myself by doing this or asking a question in this way or the way that you reference things really well. And I think for a lot of people, they use that as a reason why they have to stop. It's like, I'm not good enough. And I do feel that to a degree. I'm like, man, I could be better. Yeah. But then it's like the flip of that is I've had a whole hour with Lewis learning from someone who's amazing at what he does. And now I can go away, listen to this and review it to be better, to help more people.
Yeah. A belief that serves me, man, is there's no failure, only feedback. So it's like, what's the feedback? What's this helping me do? How can I learn from it? How can I be inspired by it? So beautiful, man. And thank you for the kind words as well. I accept that. So mate, is there anything else that you want to share? Is there anything else that's on your heart right now that you want to share with my audience, with the world, that you think could add some value?
I just think now's the time to really go after living the life that you want. We have, as I mentioned, there's resources, all of that sort of stuff. And there's enough people. You have Lewis in your corner, you have myself in your corner to be able to make the changes. And the longer you put them off, the longer it's going to be until you get to where you want to get to. And every single one of us has the ability to live an exceptional life. We just need to work out what those blocks are, who we need to surround ourselves with, what it is specifically that we want, because too many people are vague. It's like, I want to, you know, earn a lot of money, or I want to have a great relationship. Well, tell me what that is. Then we can help you get there. That's probably the last thing, is just like, stop thinking about it and get going.
Last question, mate, before we wrap it up. What excites you? What's exciting for you? Coming into the end of 2023, 2024 is coming up. What excites you?
Growth. I've got a big year mapped out for 2024. There's lots of things that I now have time. You know, I've removed certain areas of my business that kept me busy, but also took away time for me to really master other areas, the areas that I love the most. So things like storytelling, our academy, and making sure that the people who aren't having the results that they want, we don't leave them behind. So all of these things that I'm really excited, but for one product. And I know for myself personally, because how I show up impacts that. So I'm going to be healthier than ever. My relationship, you know, a lot of travel. So a lot of great stuff's coming up in 2024.
Brother, thank you for being here today, man. I've really enjoyed this. I love learning. I think one of the selfish reasons I do the podcast, I get to learn. I get free coaching off people. So it's been a really awesome conversation, man. You've obviously impacting so many people. You're going to impact so many more in your journey. How can people find you, man? If they wanted to connect, how Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, what's the best place?
Yeah, the website, themanthatcanproject.com. It's currently being upgraded, so it won't be back online for about 2 weeks. I don't know when this is going out, but let's just say the start of 2024, it will be back up. But I'm most active on Instagram, so at Lachlan Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T.
Brother, thank you so much for being here today, man. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Lewis. I look forward to having you on my show one day.
Let's do it, man.